Hello, this is DB Richards from the 2300 Wrestling Podcast, and this season is dedicated to Bill Pellerino. Rest in peace, my friend. Welcome, everybody, to the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, DB Richards, alongside my sweetie referee, Dave Keener. Whoa, dude!
Hey, so how you feeling?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Wait, he got there already. Wow. All right. So we'll just go into it then. So our guest today is the Lightning from Lima, Peru, Ryo, who is also the super crazy death match champion.
So we were death all...
Death match champion? What?
There we go.
Did you say death match?
Death match. Why not?
Dude, I've never done a death match before.
Right?
But I think it's, like next Saturday, I'll be challenging Adrian Soriano for the Super Crazy Live Championship. So, you know, that should be cool. It'd be in the same arena where I wrestled this past Saturday. I think it was IWA.
Yes, it was IWA Vintage. We were there. We were in the house, as a matter of fact. I repped the match you were in, and DB here called the match. And I think Brian walked around the ring and took pictures of that match as well.
Yeah. Dave Adams, Mr. Adams, wanted to choke a goddamn chicken the whole night.
But he did. And then O-Dog threw the damn chicken at me during the match.
Dude, if I ever see that chicken again, I'm tossing in the trash. You're sorry,
gonna,
Kevin Hogan. I don't care.
You're not going to choke it?
I'm not going to choke it. Stupidest thing.
So all right, guys. Let's get to the questions here.
All right, DB, you want to start off? Ask the first question.
So we do have a fan base that don't listen to pro wrestling. They want to know who you are, where do you come from, who trained you. Give us a little beginning.
Okay, I got you. So my real name is Cesar Castafranca. You know, like, I just grew up being a wrestling fan. I used to, like, love John Cena, Edge, Randy Orton, Triple H, all those guys, right? So then, you know, like, after graduating high school, I was like, you know, I want to be a pro wrestler. Like, I always wanted to be a pro wrestler, so I'm just going to do it. I was going to college for a little bit, and I was doing wrestling at the same time, and I really didn't like college, and I really like pro wrestling, so I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna quit school and I'm just gonna do wrestling from now on, you know. And ever since then, like, at first it was pretty tough, you know, because I feel that, like, the biggest part of wrestling is, like, personality. Of course, being able to do athletic things in this day and age, you know, you need to be able to, like, showcase your wrestling ability. But personality wise, like, at first it was tough for me because I grew up being a very shy kid, you know, like, I was, like, extremely shy, like, and that's where Ryo comes in. I created this persona, Ryo, because I wanted Ryo to be everything that I couldn't be in real life, you know? Like, I feel that when I'm Ryo and I got the face paint on and, you know, and, like, the mask and the gear and the cool jacket, like, I feel like I'm a completely different person. Like, I'm more confident. I understand the crowd. I can hear everything. I can understand energies, and I can, like, make my opponent look like a fool.
That's pretty cool. So when you decided that you were going to start training and be a professional wrestler, what did your family think of all that?
Well, you know, like, at first, it was not that my family was ever opposed. They kind of just looked at me and they started laughing at me. Like, they couldn't believe it. Like, this skinny kid right here, no way, he's not gonna do it. So, like, that's what they thought. Like, my friends thought that, my mom thought that. They would just look at me and they would just laugh about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do they think about now?
Like, how far you've come?
I think most of them are very impressed. Like, they didn't think that I made it this far. I still don't think this is my full potential. Like, I feel that I got, like, room for a lot of things. I mean, I'm not attached to it, but I have a good feeling that I have, like, room for a lot of bigger progresses in this. But, like, they're extremely proud, you know? Like, they're very surprised that I even started wrestling and that I've been still doing it for almost 7 years now. And
that's amazing.
With wrestling. Recently I've been making, like, good money in wrestling. Actually making good money in wrestling, traveling around. Like, I've been going to Mexico. I've been to Canada, like Puerto Rico. I'm going to go to Puerto Rico in June. And on top of that, I'm going back to Peru. Like, I'm wrestling back in Peru in my home country at home in July. So I'm having a good time right now.
That's pretty cool. Go ahead, Brian.
So you said you're going back to Peru. And how does it feel to be a few I mean, there's not many wrestlers that we know that are from Peru and all that. There's only been one that's been in the WWE. So how does it feel to be a wrestler and representing your country?
Well, it means I have an advantage.
a huge advantage.
I have a huge advantage because I'm like I am the top guy for my country wrestling. So I'm in my own category, wrestling in American category. So it's like where there's like, of course, like in this lane where there's like all the American people here in the American Indies, they're all in one lane. But just the fact that I'm from a different culture, a different country, it gives me my own lane. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah, I did too. It's kind of cool. Doing this podcast stuff and getting into the business, doing the IWA, being the heel and doing the helping put the promos together is kind of fun.
Yeah. And I mean, now that we're going on the road more and more too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I totally enjoyed your promo when we worked on it at the, I've let everybody be them and let you do your thing and have fun with it.
Yeah. I enjoyed the video too for the title match coming up.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Like, honestly, like, I mean, being honest with you guys, I really don't believe like it's face heels. Like, I really don't. I believe in characters, like real life characters. Like, I feel that like everyone has their own character, you know. Like, sometimes when we go to life, like, we try to like act normal, but like behind doors, in reality, we're all kind of a character, you know what I mean? So I feel that like, you know, sometimes I'm a good guy, sometimes I feel like I want to be like a nice guy and help people out, but there's other times when the crowd is not reacted to me or not happy with me, I feel that I can be an asshole to them because I don't care enough about them to, you know,
make that swerve.
It was that's exactly what happened this past weekend. Like, I was there and, like, you know, the crowd was they were just looking at me and they were like booing me for no reason, so I'm just gonna act accordingly. Like, you guys don't want to respect me, then I'm not gonna respect you back. That's why I told those people to shut up.
And I cheered you on.
And DB does it all the time.
Yeah.
Even though we have a mutual friend that says DB can't commentate, but
the thing is that I actually did want them to shut up because I wanted to say my promo and I had to cut it short. So what I had to do was I just kind of let them like boo me out for a bit to see if they quiet down, but they wouldn't. I was like, come on, man. I really wanted to cut this promo, bro. You guys are not letting me cut my promo because you're booing me.
Oh, yeah. So I always ask this question. The best advice you ever been given?
The best advice? There's so many advices that I'm not sure if I can pick one. Like, there's a lot of advices that I gotten from people, and I never really understood them until, like, I experienced them by myself. So I feel that it's kind of hard for me to pick one because I feel that every single advice that I got, sooner or later, I found that it worked or didn't.
For me, it was always open your eyes, open your ears, and pay attention. That was for me because I've been doing this for a long time as well. So it's always, pay attention.
It is. I mean, like, in a perfect world, that would be the best thing to do, you know? But, you know, we're all egotistical at the end of the day. Like, everybody in wrestling, every single person in wrestling, they're all egotistical. So, like, sometimes when you first, you're still young in the business, you're still immature, and you're listening to these old-timers, you know, like, telling you advice, you don't want to hear it. You have to kind of, like, get beat up a little bit.
Right.
And get heartbroken a little bit. And then just kind of stop taking yourself that seriously to actually comprehend what they were trying to tell you. It's tough. Like, you need to be mature in order to be able to understand what's really happening, whether the advice you're getting is good or bad.
Myself and Brian over here, we were at a show a couple weeks ago up in Monmouth County, New Jersey, and I reffed on it, and Gerald Briscoe was there. And it was really cool to hear him critique and pull me aside and talk to me about everything. So to hear him made me think that, hey, I got to get more training and more doing what I do, even though I've been doing this for almost 20 years now, but there's a Philadelphia Eagle, and I know we're talking to Ryo and everything else, but there's a former Philadelphia Eagle named John Dornbos. I don't know, you guys know who John Dornbos is? Mm-hmm. But John Dornbos said that as much as we can accomplish and as much as we've learned, there's always much more that we still need to learn.
Oh Oh, yeah, of course, of course.
I always like to say, have fun and relax, enjoy your life, because every moment's going to go so fast and you're going to forget everything. And
I know, right?
So, if you're not having fun doing this, then why do it?
So have fun, take pictures with people, do whatever you want. Don't listen to the old timers, just do it. You know what I mean? You're going to forget one day and boom. Because when we talked to Atticus Brian on the last show,
Atticus Reigns.
Yes. He goes, I wish I took pictures with these guys. Half of them are gone now. So by the time, have fun, take pictures with everybody, enjoy life.
Because you never know.
You don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel that that's something very important about wrestling, you know? Just as you were saying, like creativity. Like, I feel that people need to be more creative. Like in wrestling, you find ways to, like, you know, like maybe you can take an advice from someone, but that advice, maybe that's something that worked for this person. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to affect you the same way that it affected this person, you know?
Correct.
Right.
Like, that's where you have to be creative with, like, the things that you do, you know?
So the advice I heard was actually a show that I was a part of, and the person said, 1, wrestle like it's your last match. 2, always be safe out there. And 3, just have fun.
Oh, man. I don't know if I could wrestle if it's, like, my last match. If it was my last match, I'm going all out. I'm throwing myself off the stage. I don't care.
And that person was, again, an East Marksman. So, yeah.
Nah, just kidding. I don't think I would throw myself off the stage.
So, do you have any pet peeves in the business? I know I got a shit ton of them. So do you?
Wait, what?
I have pet peeves. You got any? Because I know I have a few being a ref. You know, people show up, shirt's not tucked in, wrong shoes, blah, 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 blah.
I think just listen to the crowd. Like, I don't think most people are good at listening to the crowd. Like, just understand, try to understand the crowd. Try to understand what they want, you know? Like, I feel that for me, like, that's the most important when it comes to wrestling. Like, you know, like, we have the crowd right there, so it's good to interact with them, not directly. You don't have to do it like, hey, you shut up, hey, cheer for me. You don't have to be like that, but like, if you find a creative way, right? Like, if you can find a creative way or something that is unique to interact with the crowd, you know, whatever works for you. I think that that's something that is the most important, to be honest.
Yeah, that's very true.
Like, there's this one fan at IWA Vintage, Tim, who's always the heel getter, and great. It's always great to have him in the crowd.
He's a heel?
No, the heel getter.
Oh, okay. The heel getter. Okay.
Like, he's the guy that badmouths the heel and stuff like that. You know, DB, you're having a feud with him right now.
Yeah, I don't like him. Yeah. I don't like him at all. I'm coming for you, Tim. No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not a wrestler.
But you got the next question, DB?
Yeah. I like to do this one. Table of five. I'm sorry. It's called Table of Five. So you pick 4 other people to put at your table for lunch, dinner, just something to drink.
Whatever you want to make it.
It's like you're
kind of like, do you ever see the show on WWE Network called Table of Three?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. That's kind of like what the question is. So it's Table of Five. You're the 4th person at the table. Or the 5th person at the table. So 4 other people at the table with you. Who would you want to have dinner with, have a drink, you know? Something.
Okay, so I'm thinking like 4 people that would be with me on the table, right?
Yeah.
Can they be like, is there a specific, like, are they like, do they have to be WWE, AEW?
No, they can be, you know what? They don't even have to be wrestlers. They can be somebody famous.
Yeah. Anybody. We're going to let you pick whatever you want to do.
I got you. All right, so like, if it's me, then the next person I'll pick will be John Cena. There we go, John Cena.
I hope you can see him.
Yeah, hopefully I can see him. So then that would be a wasted chair then. So,
right.
Well, if John, then the next person, I think that maybe we'll probably be The Rock. I like The Rock. Yeah, this is The Rock.
He's got an amazing family.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good contact too, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm friends. Yeah. We know a couple people in his family, so.
That's cool. Even better.
Yeah.
It's even better. You can take me to Hollywood, bro.
You're right.
What's it called? Maybe, who else should I pick? I don't know.
You got 2 more spots.
I got 2 more. Right.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'll probably get one of my friends. There we go, Michael Walker. I'll get my friend Michael Walker.
I know Mike.
Yeah,
Miami Mike. Yeah, Miami Mike. You saw him at DCW.
Okay.
The guy wears the board shorts to the ring.
Miami Vice gimmick.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. My friend Miami Mike Walker. Yeah.
He's the one that wears the necklace, right?
Yes, he's the one that wears the necklace to the ring.
An ice cream medal.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wears his stupid watch and his like tennis shoes.
Yeah. He
looks like he's going to the beach.
Yeah. He's like the Miami Vice Tony's gimmick.
Yeah, I scream at him for wearing a necklace. Yeah.
Right. But in reality, that guy is just like that. Like you, if you ever see his Snapchat, like you will always see him every Thursday night, Friday night. He's at the clubs partying every like 2, 3, 4 times a week. It's insane.
I couldn't do it. I got a family, so no. All right, so you got one more person.
Definitely, absolutely, Hulk Hogan, man.
That's a good one. So
Hogan
was saying that I know some people in the Rock's family. I am actually friends with Lance Anawaihi.
Yeah, I know Lance.
Yeah, Samu. So we were talking to Samu at the One Con. I'm like, hey, how are you, man? He's like, good, good. I'm like, I'm supposed to have your son here. He's like, yeah, you know, he's got the surgery with the shoulder and all that. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, hoping next time I get him. So August, hopefully Lance comes up for Icons.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry, what? Can you say that again?
Icons.
Icons. What about it? What about Icons?
August, we're supposed to be at Icons, hopefully.
Yeah, we're having Lance and Tommy Cairo and Steve Savage at our table.
And I was, like, who you guys want me to say who I think is an icon in wrestling?
Go ahead. I always thought Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns?
No, I don't. I think his father's better.
Wait, I can't hear you guys. I'm sorry.
I was saying Roman Reigns, but I think Sheeta is a lot better than Roman.
Oh, Sheeta?
Just say.
Okay, I don't know who they are.
Oh, Sheeta is Roman's father.
Is who? Who's father?
Roman Sheeta. Roman's dad.
So you're saying that Sheeta is better than Roman Reigns?
Yes.
Okay, I got you. I respect that. That's cool.
But
what's up?
So you got any road stories?
You got any cool road stories? Cool anything that
road stories.
Like driving with people.
So there was like one time that I went to Puerto Rico like a couple of years ago, like right before the pandemic started.
Okay.
And me and Dante Caballero, like he's working at LAWI right now. He was at Ring of Honor as well. Like we had a show in Puerto Rico and it was for the GLL Hatunauki Championship. It was like a Peruvian title wrestling in Puerto Rico, you know. So like we had a great match. Like I mean, like the ring was terrible. It was horrible. But
what was it, one of those like pony rings?
Yeah, it was a bad ring. But man, there was a lot of people in the crowd, and we just kind of wrestled all over the place. Like so, it was a good show. The thing is that on the way back, like trying to like come back from the show, like the show was done and everything, we wanted to like stop by like the beach, you know. Like that was the day after. We stayed at the hotel that night, and then we had to come back to go to the airport. A few days later, but we just wanted to stop by the beach. So we went by the beach and we we rented a little boat, and then we got hammered with rum. Like we drank a lot of rum. Me and Dante Caballero and his family, we were drinking so much rum, and that was my first time drinking rum, like, and I was done.
Sounds like Dante.
Yeah. And like he was sleeping, he fell asleep, but I ended up just like, you know, I was swimming, and like it was like a sunset, and I was swimming around, there was boats around, music playing, and I'm just like swimming, and all of a sudden I got hit by a boat.
Ow.
Like I'm swimming literally like a boat with those propellers and everything. It just hit me in the head and went over me, and like people went to check on me to see if I was okay or whatever, and literally I just opened my eyes and I was fine. Like nothing happened to me.
Wow, no concussion or anything?
No, I just acted normal. Like I was normal.
Damn, you were watched over that day, brother.
Dude, and people thought I was dead because like the boat went over me. Like literally over me. And apparently I lost consciousness for a second, but when I opened my eyes, I was good. I was extremely good. I even went back to the boat. They cleaned me up a little bit because I just had a small, tiny cut in my forehead, and that was it.
Wow.
Everything else, I was good. I was so.
The boat made him gig.
It was like that's a story that I always talk about because like even though like there's a lot of car roads that we can talk about and everything, like this is the one story that is like out of this world, you know, like an ordinary.
Wow. Next time I'm down there for MCW to talk to Dante about that one.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow, that's amazing. Like, it's always me and Dave doing road trips. And
well, Brian now too.
Yeah, Brian too. But Brian hasn't been on some of ours yet. Yeah, I mean, crazy.
Well, he was on the one.
With me?
No, with me.
Yeah, but he hasn't been with me.
Not yet.
So Dave loves playing with my radio. And
I didn't touch Brian's radio.
Oh, did you?
No, he didn't touch my radio. I didn't let him touch my radio.
Good. About time. Somebody listens. Yeah, Dave's not allowed to touch the radio. He likes to turn the song when you're listening to it. So they're going to like this and hits the button.
You're the one that wants to play the Muppet Babies theme song at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Because you keep on changing my channel.
I mean, get in the car.
Muppet Babies.
Good night.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Ask the next question.
So I am a big fan of pranks and ribs. And they're always good ribs because I don't think people like shitting in people's bags and like that is good.
You're not like, Ricky Morton, all right?
But like having fun, like Red Dog. I read Red Dog now because he got chopped really, really bad by
no
an evil guy.
No fury behind that chop.
Yeah, but like I always tease him. I always send him messages like, "Yo, can I get a chop from you?" And like he just shakes his head and he's like, "No."
You know he's on the show Damn. Saturday, so.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait. He became one of my favorite people to see. Yeah,
good dude. We love you, though, Cliff.
But it's so much fun, like, ribbing him the whole time because what Rob Fury did to him was brutal and wrong. And
pardon me. It was fucked up, okay?
Yeah, it was
fucked up.
He went off and chopped him, like, right. because he messed up on a move.
So here's the story. You. We were up at a show in North Jersey, like, Secaucus area.
Yeah.
And Cliff Miller, who is Red Dog, was there. And I'm sitting there, and we're talking to Dan Mapp and Sean Donovan and a few other guys. And Rob Fury comes up, and he's making Red Dog go around the ring and blah, 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 blah. And walks up to Sean Donovan and goes, "Hey, you want to do this, Sean?" No. Dan Mapp's like, "No, I'm good." And, I mean, these are two big indie names. So, and for that whole thing, and now every single time we hear a chop with Red Dog in the ring, it's like, "Oh, did you feel the fury behind that chop?" And he looks at us like, "You motherfucker."
So he stays away from the chops in the ring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or ask him to do a running chokeslam. Running chokeslam.
Or go into Battle Royal and do duck three drop over body slam. Do you have any ribs or pranks?
I used to prank people before, but it was more like a little bit childish. It wasn't too serious, like, you know, like that. I think like there used to be this one guy at MCW. His gimmick was that he was a bowler. Like he used to come out with like a bowling ball, and he has his whole he was Mr. 300 Jeremy something. I can't remember.
Are you talking about one half of the Rock and Bowl Express?
Yeah,
yeah, I know
Rock
you're
and Bowl.
About.
Yeah, I always called them Rock and Bowl Connection. They used to get so pissed off. Like it'd be like the Rock and Bowl Connection, and they hated it. But this guy Nick the Bowler, though, he used to take himself like very, very seriously, like during training and stuff like that. So like sometimes, like we used to just prank each other. I used to just pull his pants down, like in the middle of class. I used to pants him all the time.
If you guys don't, so these two guys, the Rock and Bowl Express, it's so the guy's got the bowling glove on and the bowling shirt, and they come down with bowling bags and everything else. And I even think their boots look like bowling shoes.
Question. Do they have bowling balls in there?
Yeah. I remember. With the stars and everything. All like
right. Real. Yeah. I was down at the one MCW show with these guys. I'm like, that's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah. It was fun. Like, you had a good time. Like, people, whenever they would perform, like, everybody would be laughing about. Like, it would be so funny. It would be like, I think they had one of the best matches when it was like the Rock and Bowl Connection or Press, whatever it
something
is,
like that.
Against Lance Noya, Jimmy, the guy, the owner of Jimmy Seafood, and actor Jim Duggan, when they had their six man at MCW at that MCW show, like that was the most, like the funniest thing that I ever seen in my entire life. Like they were doing the 10 punches, and actor Jim Duggan couldn't get up on the top or the second, so he just did it from the bottom while everybody else was from the top. It was really funny.
I mean, the MCW shows, if you guys get a chance to go down there, check them out. They're pretty good shows.
Yeah.
I only know that because my brother's one of the refs.
Yeah, but now we got CCW. Now we got CCW invading in Maryland. Let's not forget about that. Have any grays.
Yep.
So, it looks like we're going to do five questions to do. So.
Are we?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Why not?
Because you handed me all the questions.
I did.
Yeah. So, this is a game we play. It's non-wrestling related because sometimes we want to have fun with the people we're with. And Dave is the guy that does the voice here.
I do voices.
Yes, you do. Good boy. You get a cookie after this.
A cookie. Fuck you.
Are you ready now?
Wait, what did you say?
Are you ready now?
No.
Okay.
Are you ready?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for the five questions of doom.
So this
of doom.
So, are you going to say doom again?
Sounds like you got to take a nasty shit.
I do. No. So, question number one.
Question number one.
Sour Patch or gummy bears?
Gummy bears.
Bouncing here and everywhere. I love gummy bears.
You know what? You were talking about alcohol, okay? If you want to try this, I'm not saying you have to, but take those gummy bears and take that bottle of rum and mix them.
Okay, if you want to get drunk.
I do. It. That actually tastes pretty damn good.
Okay.
Question number two.
Favorite animated Disney movie?
Ooh. Oh, damn. Wow. Bugs Life.
Oh, I love Bugs Life.
Wow, that's...
Bugs Life.
I don't hear people say Bugs Life that much. I might have to...
Love that one. Mine is actually Meet the Robinsons.
I got too many. I love
Meet the Robinsons because it's one of those ones that actually has a good message to it.
What? Norms.
Little arms, and then the message is pretty much keep moving forward.
Okay, we always keep moving forward.
So you can keep moving forward to asking question number three.
Question number three. Wow.
What?
Wow.
You like that one?
Wow.
Wow.
Favorite superhero sidekick?
Sidekick?
Yeah, superhero sidekick.
The only one that I know is Robin.
Okay, I'll take that.
Crypto.
Yeah, you can say Crypto. You got mine.
Crypto.
Oh, I got a question for you since you said Robin. Which Robin?
Oh.
I like the one from the Teen Titans.
Okay, the cartoon. I'm personally Burt Ward, but that's just me. You know, don't get me wrong. Chris, whatever his name was a pretty good Robin. And then Joseph Gordon-Levitt played Robin, but he never went.
Question number four. So I'm a big fan. So I'm a big fan of these series of movies. I'm a Bond fan. I love James Bond. I love everything about James Bond. The last one was amazing. What is your favorite Bond movie?
Dude, yo, man. I still haven't seen any James Bond movies, dude. I gotta start watching those. I feel they're good.
Let me ask you something, BB. Your favorite James Bond?
Oh, it's Sean Connery.
All right.
And then it's Daniel Craig and then Timothy Dalton.
I like the one from the video game, bro. I like that one from Nintendo 64. That was my favorite.
GoldenEye. That was Pierce Brosnan.
GoldenEye.
Roger Moore.
Moonrakers was the worst James Bond movie.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't like Roger Moore? I like him. All right. Well, then he doesn't know James Bond.
That's number four. We're going to go to number five.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready? Question number five.
So when I was a kid, I'm a big fan of this cartoon.
Me too. I don't even know what you're talking about.
The Flintstones. Who do you like, Fred Flintstone or Barney Rubble?
Well, can you say it again? I couldn't hear it.
The Flintstones. Who did you prefer, Barney or Fred?
Barney or Fred?
Fred Flintstones. You know the Flintstones cartoon? You might not know.
Okay, I'll say Fred Flintstones.
Okay,
yeah, I'm going with Fred.
So that was the five questions of Doom.
Alright, cool.
You're like, hey, that was the five questions.
Okay, go ahead.
You like say like some sort of
you want me to say
host.
Okay.
You're like, this is the
hold
five.
Hold up, I got it.
You wanna try it?
I'm gonna try it.
Okay, try it. Don't hurt yourself.
I hate that rabbit.
Oh. No, you did it wrong, guys.
Ooh, I hate that rabbit. That was the five questions of Doom. I can't do it.
That was the five questions of Doom.
So why are they called questions of Doom?
So they're non-wrestling related, every question. I have been a horror, Halloween, haunt, scary person, ripping my face off full of blood every year. So he just likes to hear me do the scary voices once per every show.
So when you... there's other things about it too. When you hear five questions of Doom, it sounds funny. And Bless then you. when the questions come up, you're like... How are they scary or Doom? So it's a gimmick.
And that's why we do the five questions of Doom.
I thought it was Doom because it kind of puts you on the spot, you know?
That's true, yes.
But I mean, if anything, you be betrayed, DB.
Yeah, you know, because...
I'll take betrayed.
There's a few things that I didn't know how to answer because I haven't seen them before. So it's like, oh man, this guy just put me on the spot.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought it was called the questions of Doom, you know?
yeah, that's true. That's what we're doing.
Right.
We're putting you on the spot, man.
So, you know what? I haven't asked this question in a while.
Okay, what is it?
So, I feel that professional wrestling is deviating away from the how did we get there type of thing. Wouldn't you agree, DB?
Yeah, Yeah, a little bit.
So I'm also seeing it in AEW than like more bigger companies now.
So there's no storylines.
Right, there's no storylines. IWA Vintage, however, we're going to do storylines.
Yes.
We got ideas.
Yes.
Yeah. Trust me, I got ideas.
Oh, I have ideas too.
Oh, yeah. But that's, you got to keep that 18 and up. It has to be adult-friendly idea. You know what I mean? For what I have.
Oh. So, ask them the question.
So, do you feel that, like, I see people doing death matches and stuff like that. That's fine. But I feel that wrestling is alleviating away from the how did we get there type of thing. Like, if you go back to watching WrestleMania 10 when it was Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon, there were maybe 6 months of build up to get to that ladder match at 10.
Right.
Do you feel that wrestling is getting away from that type of thing?
Yeah.
Right. So what are your thoughts on it?
Well, they kind of just have to go with the times, you know. Like, back in the days, there was not as much distraction going on. Like, it was more, life was a little bit more basic. We had like a TV. We didn't have PSPs or Game Boys. We didn't have video games. We didn't have iPhones. We didn't had all this technology. The thing about it is that nowadays, like, there's so much distraction and the attention span of individuals is like less than 10% now.
It's like a soapy.
So it's like companies, they just have to go to things because they're not only competing against wrestlers. They're competing against the UFC. They're competing against NBC. They're competing against football. There's so much content on TV and on your phones to watch. There's YouTube that you're competing against. So it's almost like the views are going to go down. You know, like the TV views are going to go down because not many people are paying attention to TV as much anymore. The only thing that's going to be open, like, where things would be the phone. So it's tough for companies nowadays to do the same creative things that they did back in the day. So unfortunately, like, in the towns that we live, they just got to go.
Right.
So you just mentioned YouTube. And this is my question I ask to a lot of wrestlers. You see on YouTube, a lot of fans, a lot of content creators are creating people, like creating wrestlers off of the WWE games. And so you see a lot of them creating like a different Alexa Bliss or a different CM Punk. But lately they've been creating a lot of the indie guys. And I've seen a few creations of you. So how do you feel as fans?
I've seen violence on there too.
I've seen violence on there too.
Yeah.
So how do you feel that fans are creating indie wrestlers on here? Do you think it gives them an edge or gives them a little more, when you say, spotlight for themselves?
I didn't know that there were people creating all of us the video game. I mean, I see it every once in a while, but I didn't really like pay much attention to it. But I feel that if, like, you know, like those gamers, they like Raw wrestling and they're looking into us, and that means that we're getting some eyes from a certain category of people, you know?
Yeah. A different platform.
It's an honor, you know what I mean? Getting your character made in the game, and it's really fun, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's fun. I just don't play video games so much.
You'd be surprised. A lot of these guys put in a lot of work. Like, they look up the guys' information, like the height, the weight, their moveset, and it's really good.
I know they put a lot of effort, but that's pretty cool, man. Like, congrats to that.
See, I know. So this is going into this question right now because, it's called like the weirdest gift or autograph you've given to someone or received. So, like, we know, like, me and Dave right there, we got a PWI 500 from a fan. And we all know why.
So don't matter.
Didn't know why we were getting a PWI 500. I still have that magazine. It's chilling at home. But, like, it was just...
I got my copy somewhere up there. I don't even know.
Yeah, it's somewhere up there.
Right.
But it was just weird because we didn't know why we were going to get us because...
It's one of those things... Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Like, yeah, I liked the PWI back when I was 17, but now it just feels like...
Crazy Steve.
Yeah.
So, you know Crazy Steve from TNA, AEW, and all that. So, we're in the car one day with Crazy Steve, and Steve was telling us how some fan from Australia was sending him sweatshirts that are 2-3X. Now, if you know Crazy Steve, Crazy Steve's about as small as you are. No offense. So why would he want something that's 2XL or 3XL?
Yeah.
He's a small guy. Good guy. Small guy. So the question is, do you ever receive something weird, something off the wall, something crazy?
Or give an autograph, like...
Or give a crazy autograph?
Because we had somebody say, oh, I sign a baby. You sign a baby?
Why would you?
Who does that? So
I think the craziest, nothing related to that, but like I think that the craziest thing that I like ever like received from fans, almost like that kind of like weird. And also they want a signature. Was it somebody wearing, it was some guy in like a Spider-Man mask, unknown, was asking me to sell my gear once, and I just sold it to him.
That's it.
I thought it was odd. I mean, it gave me money for it.
Sure. I know somebody that does buy gear too. His name is Justin, lives all the way down in,
oh, Justin B?
Yeah. A friend of ours. He buys gear. He bought Dave's cousin's Nate Hatred stuff.
Yeah, he won't give it to me.
So. No, I know.
Oh, I got you. I just don't know how that works. I just thought it was odd. But
yeah, sometimes if your gear is getting ready, you're going to get new gear.
It's no offense, and I love Justin. He's a good friend, but he's the epitome of that word.
Mark.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh, yeah. But he carries around a CZW ring apron in his bag. So if he runs into anybody from CZW, get him to sign it.
Dude, he might be donating that money to us.
Yeah.
He said, stop making fun of that. Because he said, you
want No, I'm not saying, I'm saying if he runs into anybody.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be like, get a WWE apron or something, get a WWE guy to sign it.
Yeah, but my whole thing is, that's kind of cool if he's going to donate to us.
If he's donating it, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, because I know a lot of people that were in CZW that have passed on. Justice, Nate, Trent.
So what's the next question?
Geek out.
Geek out moment.
Go ahead.
So, I geek out a lot.
I mean, you geeked out to seeing the Warlord and Barbarian a couple weeks ago. That was pretty cool.
Geeked out for a lot of other things. You know what I mean? David Arquette. You know what I mean?
But that was all David Arquette. So,
David Arquette was very cool because he's like...
I geeked out when I'm dusty, so...
I asked how much the autograph was. And then he just said, it's free for a photo. I'm like, okay. Everybody else paid 20.
Right. And then somebody walked up and went, no, you have to charge that for that. But me meeting Dust, that was a geek out moment.
Yeah, we know the story. You don't have to say it.
Nah, it was cool.
So do you have any geek out moments meeting somebody?
I think it was when I first signed out, for wrestling. And you know, I was still very new to the business. I went to a wrestling show somewhere in West Virginia. And in that match, in that show specifically, Matt Hardy was there. I mean, to be honest, I wasn't the biggest Matt Hardy fan, but I know that I saw him from TV when I was a kid. So, like, yeah. When I was sharing the same locker with him in the bathroom, I kind of just approached him and I was very like geeking out. Like, I was very like, wow, like I'm seeing somebody from TV right now. And I was like, hey, thank you for nice to meet you. My name is Caesar, and it was cool to see your storylines with Edge and Lita. And then I just walked away. It was weird.
I can tell you a geek out moment my son Anthony had one. We were at 1CW hanging out, and Enzo was there. And the guy that brought in Enzo pulled Anthony aside and said, here, man, hold this sign for me and make sure when people know where to go and how much the autographs and everything are. And then he went and sat at ringside and did security for 1CW, him and my stepson. And they just sat there, and Enzo walked by and was talking to him and everything else. And people always told me that he was a huge dick and an asshole. I'm like, not to me. Like, he was pretty cool. But I mean, they geeked out for it, and I thought it was really cool to sit there and talk to them. So that was a geek out moment for the kids.
Damn, I got
that. Was cool. And then, span of 3 weeks later, we hung out with Cass. So that was cool. 1CW, shout out, thank you.
Man, that's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool.
Three matches.
You were doing three matches?
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
So, three matches. This is a simple question. What it is you're going to tell me three of your favorite matches.
Of all time.
Three matches that you've been involved in, and three favorite matches that you've seen TV live, whatever, that you weren't involved in.
Okay, so three matches that I've been involved with, and three matches that I have not been involved with that could be WWE or whatever.
Like SummerSlam 91, Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect is one of my favorites.
I would always go back to Randy and Dragon, but that's just me.
Okay, I got you. So I would tell you, like, for the first three matches for me, this is not like an order, just whatever, but I would say me against Michael Walker back in Pittsburgh November. That was one of my best matches. Just because it was like, you know, like we party after. We had a good moment that night because we went to a party in Pittsburgh that night, and the drinks are so cheap. They're only like $4. And like the match that we had, it was sorry?
That is cheap, because we're in the Philadelphia area, and drinks are like $7.
Oh, really? You know,
oh, yeah.
$4. Oh, but anyway, so, like, see, like, against Michael Walker, that was one of my best matches. The other one is against Sin Cara in Texas. I wrestled him back in September, not too long ago. Like, that match was insane. Like, we wrestled, like, on the, like, on the streets of some, what's it called, El Paso. It was, like, over 1,000 people there, and it was me against Sin Cara for the International Open Challenge Championship created by Lucha Libre Online. And, like, we killed it. We had a great match, and Alberto Patron was there. He interfered in the match. That freaking punk cost me the match. And then, so, yeah, I would say that was one of my best matches, the most recently. And then the last one would be, like, 2 weeks ago, wrestling against Action Andretti. He's seen by many as the Leo Rush of Maryland, as the new Leo Rush, but I think he has a category of its own at this moment. But yeah, so like we wrestled like in a 2 out of 3 falls at the Havity Grace building for ZZW, and like it was crazy. Like, you know, like we wrestled all over the stage. We wrestled by the bar. He hit me with a moonsault off the freaking bar table.
I wanted to get down there because I heard Andretti and Eric Martin did one hell of a match down there. I'm gonna get down there for that, but it was good. It was at MCW. So yeah, but go ahead. So 3 matches that weren't yours that you enjoyed.
What?
So there was three matches that you were in, and then the 3 matches that you weren't in that you enjoyed.
Like you were a big fan of, like, yeah, like Edge and Matt Hardy or something like that.
Right.
Let's see. I would say I really like Undertaker versus Triple H at WrestleMania 27. Like, that's one of my top ones. I like this one specifically because like there was a few moments that I really thought that streak was gonna end. Like, that was the first time that I was actually legit worried for the streak to end.
Was that the end of the era match?
No, that was next year's WrestleMania. That was in the Hell in a Cell with Shawn Michaels.
You're right. Yes, it was. Okay.
Yeah, I prefer this one over that one just because like Steel Cage was there, but it was barely used. You know, like the Hell in a Cell was there, but it was barely used. So that's why I prefer this one a little bit more, like the WrestleMania 27. You know, and then another match that I really like. I really enjoyed WrestleMania 30. Daniel Bryan versus Triple H and Batista. It wasn't Triple H, it was Randy Orton. It was for the WWE title, the main event of WrestleMania 30. Actually, like both matches that night, like that was amazing. It was a good show overall, but that was like one of those feel good moments. You really wanted this guy to win and he finally did it, you know? So that was, I've never had felt like that before for anybody else like watching wrestling, you know? Like, I really wanted this guy to win.
Yeah,
it was a great match. I agree with that. And one more.
And, it's also WrestleMania. This is WrestleMania 28 the next year. I really like John Cena versus The Rock. Mostly because I thought it was a really good build-up. Like the match itself was like, you know, it wasn't like the best technical wrestling match in the whole world. It was a lot of showmanship. But I really liked the way that they built it up storyline-wise. How it was like the promos that they were doing back-to-back to each other. And then eventually face-to-face. And there was so much friction. Like when I was watching as a fan on TV, I was feeling uncomfortable listening to these guys talk trash to each other. It made me feel very uncomfortable. So they had me sold on this match. Like, they had me sold. I bought the pay-per-view. I worked a lot so I can buy the pay-per-view, and like I really enjoyed the build-up. And the match itself, like I said, it wasn't like the best technical match, but it was very good. It was very good, I think.
I think my dog was agreeing with you on that one.
I'm sorry?
My dog was barking in the background.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. It's all good.
Okay, this is going to be the last question.
We got to get that in. The final question. This is the final
question.
I think it's funny. It's just me. But the final question.
What do you got?
I thought you had one.
No. Oh. It should be on the list. It's okay. I'd be editing this.
You got one?
Okay. So in wrestling, there's so much creepy stuff going on out there. Like, do you think wrestling should have background checks?
You have a background check?
Yeah.
I know that things are different once you go south. Once you go to like Maryland and Virginia, there's more that you have to have.
Yeah.
Once you get above the Mason-Dixon line, it's completely different.
Like up here, anybody right. can promote anybody.
Down there, it's different. So do you think that background checks for like promoters and wrestlers, managers, referees, whatever that is on the show should happen?
I think having like a commissioner on every show. I mean, I wouldn't like it personally because then that means there's less shows and shit and stuff like that, and there's a lot of hustle. But like just thinking what is best for the business, I do feel that it would be the best thing if there's commissioners or something, kind of any kind of regulation for every show. Just because to prevent from anybody just getting a promotion, you know, like
right.
It puts people that like the more good people, like the more people, businessmen that we have doing shows and not fans, like the better the whole system is gonna be, because then it's a more serious. It's not gonna have as much of a bad rep, and also like you know, like promoters that don't know much about wrestling, they're barely new. They just jump into the business without like any training or not necessarily training, but just with any business like vision out of it.
Right.
Sometimes they pay less. They try to like get anything for less. You know, like they're kind of cheap. So yeah. Like if we have a lot of people like that in the bottom of the chain of the food chain of wrestling, if all the people at the bottom they're like very cheap, then everything along that they're also gonna try to be cheap. So like in order for us to change the culture of wrestling, it would be better if we have more people there in position to have events.
Oh yeah. Like I know when you go in the state of New Jersey does not, is one of the only states that does not have a state athletic. Pennsylvania yeah. has one, other states do. Maryland, it's a whole lot more when you go to Maryland. Maryland State Athletic Commission is actually on the show, and you have to fill, and I know Ryan knows what I'm talking about because he's been down there. You have to do a whole like physical fitness type of test before you can get on the show.
Even ring announcers?
Well, not if you're on the show. Oh. Like if you are a wrestler performing on the show, you have to do a physical fitness test so they know that you can wrestle.
Okay.
It's way different down there.
Okay. Do you have any social media for the fans?
Yeah. So like if anybody wants to, you know, like check me out on my page. On my Instagram place at Ryo Wrestles, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, everything is under at Ryo Wrestles.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. This has been the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. I'm Dave Keener alongside DB Richards, and we'll see you in the ring.
And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to give a big thank you to Lightning Ryo for being on our show today.
Thank you, Ryo. And I would like to say welcome to the 2300 Wrestling family.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Like, I'm very happy to be here. Happy to have done these questions with you guys. This is the Lightning Ryo, and you're listening to the 2300 Wrestling Podcast.
Sam Alfalzi here.
And Zach Ravix.
Super Crazy Wrestling, Super Crazy Arena, Skid Row Academy. We are indeed the best facility in New Jersey. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, probably in the world. Extremely top three, I would say. We have very terrific trainers. Actually, they all come from the Ring of Honor Dojo, so yeah. You already know you're...
So they're going to be great, and they're definitely great.
Oh yeah, for sure. You're gonna experience some, you know, pretty elite stuff. You know, we're all about intensity here. You know, we're always here to help. We're always reach one, teach one. That's our main thing. You know, I feel like if you're a person that really feels like wrestling is your dream and that's what you want to accomplish, this is the best school to come to.
Or burn.
Okay. What Brack said.
So once again, you know, best school probably in the world, definitely in Jersey. You can find it. You can find it on Facebook, Super Crazy Wrestling and Skid Row Academy, and it's Instagram, Super Crazy Wrestling, Skid Row Academy. You can contact Melissa Pena or O-Dog, and he'll come find you if you don't find him.
Or I will.
Or
Brax will.
Or Brax.
You'll burn.
No, you won't burn.